chapter number 15. We're going to look at two verses. We'll stand in honor of the reading of the Word of God found in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15. Read two verses, then we can be seated this morning. If you've enjoyed the singing today, say amen. I appreciate good singing, don't you? Luke chapter 15. I sure did enjoy the Sunday school hour today. How challenging, how charging it was. Like I say, by way of announcements, remember the Steve Harper family, his dad's passed in the community visitation tonight at Rainwater, 5 till 8. The funeral tomorrow is at 2 o'clock. So you remember that family when you pray. The Bible said in Luke 15, verse number 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him." And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, sort of behind his back, sort of talking down under their breath. They really didn't like what was going on. And I've noticed that religion still don't like what Jesus is doing. You know, it's okay to be religious, but don't draw a line in the sand and get too dogmatic about Jesus. It's okay to say something about God, but, oh, don't say nothing about Jesus. You may offend somebody. Let me go on and offend you today. Because it's all about Jesus, and if that offends you, you just have to get over it this morning. And the Bible said that they murmured, and they said, "This man stuck their nose up at the ceiling. Receive a sinner." I tell you what they ought have done. Instead of sticking their nose up in the air, they ought have stuck their face down in the ground and cried, "Holy, holy, holy, holy is God that loves somebody like me." He said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." You may be seated this morning. Father, we sure do love you today. We thank you for Calvary. Thank you for our church and the freedom that we have this morning. God, realizing that if time a tarry, there may come a day in this place that I'll not have the freedom that I have here this morning to preach this gospel. Help us, oh God, to be faithful to you. Remind us today we're going to stand before you and give an account of every word we've ever said. Help me, Lord, to be a blessing to people today. Oh God, stir the hearts of our church because we sure do need you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. Now you'll notice the attitude of some people. I've noticed that people with attitude has never been to where some people have been. Now, thank God that there are people that can stay upon that plane and can stay in that field of separation and holiness. But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus specifically said he came to save sinners. And if you're living a life today of separation and holiness, I think we all ought to strive for it. But I want to tell you today, just in case you do fall, there is a God in heaven that still loves you and that loves me. Now you'll notice that religion didn't have time for sinners. They didn't make a place for sinners. And it's very easy if you're not careful to be caught up in this crowd of hypocrisy and criticism. But here Jesus now, when he knowing that there were murmurings going on because he sat and he ate with sinners, He knew they were saying some things about him. So he told the three greatest parables in the Gospel of Luke. First of all, you'll find one that's very familiar to us all. You'll see, they're the sheep that drifted. He said, what man of you in verse 4 having 100 sheep? If he wouldn't lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it. Here the emphasis is upon the Son. I'm glad He's the great Shepherd. And He is our great High Priest this morning. And I'm glad when I wasn't concerned for myself, when I went way out yonder from the 99, He came looking for me. And you'll notice here in this parable a sheep that was drifting. But number two, He wrote another parable in verse number 8. Not only is the emphasis in the first parable upon the Son, now the second parable, the emphasis is upon the Holy Ghost. Not only do we see a sheep that was drifted, now we find silver that was discarded. Watch, the Bible said, either what woman in verse 8, having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle, and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. I'm glad the Holy Ghost is still searching in the house for those that have been discarded or dropped and those that have been lost down in some low and some dirty places. You'll notice that she swept the house, and when she found it, she called her friends and her neighbors saying, rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Aren't you glad there's joy in heaven this morning when a sinner comes home? But you'll notice in the teachings that Jesus gave to these hypocritical people, not only do you find the emphasis was upon the Son, the second was the emphasis upon the Holy Ghost. But thirdly, you'll notice now, in one of the greatest parables that Jesus ever wrote, the emphasis was upon the Father. And you'll notice not only the sheep that was drifted and the silver that was dropped, but here you'll find a son that had departed. Be careful before you get too hypocritical about this boy. Because I'm going to bring some points out about him this morning that have come home to where me and you live at. Now you'll notice, first of all, he was a son at the house. I'm glad that God's children all have a beginning around his house. Now, first of all, you'll notice, and I'm preaching today out of Luke 15, I'm going to start now in verse number 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, I want to stop right there and I want to say, I don't know where mama was, but there was a mother somewhere. Whether she was in the grave, whether she was home, and where Christ didn't think the importance would be about her, maybe one of the emphasis upon the father. Because he starts with the father and he ends with the father. And so we find here, there's two sons, and the father, one said, give me the portions of goods that falleth to me. And he says, he divided unto them his living. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey to a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous or loose living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land and began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Not much place for a Jew boy to be associating with pigs. He would fain have filled, or gladly would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. No man gave to him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. He said, I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and didn't have a stick in his hand. Should have had. Didn't have a gun in his hand, but he should have had. But he had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. I'm going to say something about that in a minute. But the father said, he said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Preach a little while this morning on finding yourself in the far country. Now, you'll notice, first of all, in the parable, in the teaching of this story, the reason that Jesus taught in parables so he could bring it down to us. I've always liked a preacher that was plain. I've never liked a preacher that was caught up in politics. I've never liked a preacher that was trying to be something that God never intended him to be, but just to be plain and bring it down to where we live at. So I want to say, first of all, this morning, there is the warning of a far country. The warning of a far country. Now, you'll notice in this warning, in verse number 11 and 12, pride showed up. He said, the younger of them said to his father, the younger. Now, by way of introduction, the oldest son always got a double portion. And now the father has divided his living to the young and the old. And the older got double, and the son, I'll be on that tonight. Be sure don't miss that little point. But the youngest got a third, if it was only divided by two. The older got two, the younger got one. But the younger, maybe pride got up in his life. And there's a warning here about pride. He said, I want you to give me the portions of good that falleth to me. Now, it's easy to get big-headed when you're down around in the Father's house. And God teaches us something about pride. He said in Proverbs 16 and verse 18, you won't have to turn. Pride goeth before destruction. You always remember this, young people. And a haughty spirit before a fall. I don't need church. I don't need you. Man, I got everything under control. I got on my Superman t-shirt, and I'm bulletproof, and I've got a big attitude, and I'm 13 and know everything. Anybody ever had a youngin' that sort of shook her head at you sometime? You just sort of want to pop her jaw. And it's okay if you do, by the way. Just be sure you pop them in love when you do it. Now, there's attitude. There's pride there. You remember this. Pride and a haughty spirit. If you got that on you this morning, you remember that. Get ready. You fixing to fall. Get ready. You fixing to hit it. Now, there's a warning of the far country. There's pride. But then I want to say, not on the pride of the warning, there's a pull of warning. Now, isn't it amazing how that our flesh loves sin? I would love to tell you that since I've been saved in 1981, now over 30 years that I've been in Christ and Christ has been in me, I'd love to tell you that I've got this flesh under restraint, but I don't. I would love to tell you that this flesh don't never want to do things that this book tells it not to do. I'd love to tell you that I never have no problems with what my eyes see. I'd love to tell you what I never have no problems with what my ears hear. I'd love to tell you, I never have no problem with what my hands touch. And I'd love to tell you, I never have no problems with where my feet go. Now, if anybody's there yet, I wish you'd get up on the bench and stand up and raise your hand so I could see you, amen. And we may cry Hail Mary to you. But until you do, you better remember one thing. There's a pull to the far country. And I can tell you, one of the greatest writers in our Bible had issues with his flesh. Romans chapter number 7, Paul said, the things that I do, I wish I didn't do it. And the things I need to be doing, I can't find myself doing it. He said, I find somebody in me that's living against what I want to be doing. And there's a pull to the far country. I can tell you this, when you go to getting things, be careful there's a pull that'll pull on you. And then when you ain't got things, be careful there'll be a pull that'll be a pulling on you. Well, take something to make you feel better about it. The greatest day in your life is when the Lord saved you. And the greatest time you'll ever have is when you're filled with the Holy Ghost of God and walking in the will of the Lord Jesus. Nothing better. It don't get no better than that. And can I tell you, the pull to a far country is getting stronger every day. Every time we turn on that one-eyed monster, it's pulling us. Amen. Them old-timers used to call it one-eyed monster. A lot of them was hypocrites, though. They'd preach against TVs and they'd go to Kmart and watch the Super Bowl. Somebody say amen right there. But now we've all got to realize there's a pull in us to do wrong. Now Adam's the blame of that, but we can't blame him for what we do it. But we've all got a nature in us to do wrong. That's why your little children, some of you think none of them do no wrong. Well, let me go on and get you mad in the start of the sermon. They do wrong. You don't have to teach them to do wrong. You'll have to teach them to do right. They'll be the linest little things this side of heaven. I remember one time that Megan and Macy was little, and one of them bit the other. I don't know which one it was, but I figure probably Macy bit Megan. And so, that's right, it's coming back to me now, Mama. That's right. No, that ain't right. You mean Megan bit Macy. I'll get her after service. I'm sorry, Macy. But anyhow, I remember this. Renee said, that young'un bit that young'un. I said, she ain't done no such a thing. I mean, she's sitting there with little teeth marks. She said, well, look at her finger. How'd she get them teeth marks on? She didn't bite herself. Well, I didn't have to teach my young'uns to bite each other. I had to teach them not to bite each other. And let me go and help you in some good 101 parenting today. Some good country folk parenting. Go ahead and tear your young'uns' britches up while they little. Go and put a few stripes on them now, and the government won't put stripes on them later. It ain't nothing wrong with disciplining your children. And you just saying that you don't get to play with your tractor today ain't much disciplining. Get their attention. My daddy run me by his eye and his finger. I could be cutting up in church. We had them old pine board floors. I could hear them crack right now when daddy stepped. Me and my little cousins be laughing. He'd say, you know what that meant? It's on like Donkey Kong. When I get you home, if you don't, I'm fixing to tear the whole building down with you, boy. Now your young'uns just run all over you. Amen? The Bible says, spare the rod, spoil the child. That's what's wrong with our society. Guns ain't killing people. Kids is killing people. You bunch of tree huggers. Amen. Cain killed Abel. I don't think they had automatic weapons then. It's a moral problem. It's a character problem. A man will kill a school of people with a load of fertilizer. Let me go and hit this while this cat just jumped up. I wonder how many's been killed by drunk drivers in our country this year. I don't see nobody shutting the liquor stores down. My nieces here this morning, her daddy killed below the church by a drunk driver. I don't see nobody down there trying to close the liquor stores. Well, preacher, you can't build a church preaching like that. You might not build a crowd, honey, but I tell you, you can preach where God will hang around. Now, they's a pull to a far country, and everybody here better realize it's in us to do it. It's in us. I don't care how close you walk with God, it's always going to be in you to do wrong. But greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Now, we notice this. There's a warning in the far country. I can't labor there no longer. I got tied up there more than I meant to. But I said something some of you needed to hear. There's the pride of warning. There's the pull of warning. And there's a place of warning. Can I tell you, it's closer than we all realize. You know what God said over there to Cain in Genesis chapter number 4? And He said this. The Bible said in Genesis 4:6, and the Lord said to Cain, "Why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door." It ain't far from none of us. You ain't got to go look for trouble. Trouble's going to look for you. So here in this far country parable, there's a warning of the far country. Number two, there's a wasting in the far country. The Bible says in verse number 13, there was a departure. And not many days after he got it all, the younger son gathered it all together and took his journey into a far country. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living or loose living. Young people, can I encourage you to do something? Stay close to Christ. This didn't happen overnight. He'd been thinking about it a while. You know, the devil, he's smart enough to know he don't all of a sudden just throw something in front of us. It'd scare us and we'd run. He's subtle. He starts moving things in our life a little, just a little bit at a time. And before we know it, we're caught up over there and wonder, how in the world did I get over there? I can tell you how you got over there and I've got over there. We move from over here. Now there's a wasting of the far country. There's a departure. And then, verse 13, there's a disregard. He just wasted it all. Then there's a distinction in verse 14. The Bible said, and he spent it all. I've never seen nobody go in a far country that it didn't cost them everything they had. Spent it all. And then verse 15, there's destruction. He found himself in a hog pen. That's a bad place to spend the night. A hog pen, Brother Driver. Brother Leon is the most awful smelling, Brother Gerald. Brother Lee, that we've ever smelt in our life is a hog pen. Terrible place to be. So we see this warning of a far country and this wasting of the far country. But in verse 17, now I want to preach a little while on there's the awakening in the far country. The Bible said when he came to himself. How old was he? I don't know. But he came to himself. And you know, when I want to ask you something. When you come to yourself, I've never liked what I find. When I come to myself, and I take off this coat, and I'm going to tell you something. The office that God has called me and has entrusted me with, He holds me to a higher standard than anybody in this building. And I'm going to tell you something today. When I still find myself, I don't like what I find. I love to please Him. You know, when he come to himself, he said, now, how many hired servants is back at the Father's house? And not only do they have enough, but they got some extras. He come to himself. And I don't know about you, but it'll do you good sometime when you find out really who you are. Because when you find out who you are, you won't be so critical and judgmental on people that find themselves in some far away places. I come in here Wednesday night after church and I took an inventory. They're not here, so I won't embarrass nobody. I'd shut the doors before I embarrassed the family. I'd shut the doors. I'd close. We'd go home before I'd embarrass anybody where they wouldn't come back to Liberty Baptist Church. But I'm going to tell this church something. Wednesday night at our fellowship, I come up here to turn the lights off. It's done close to 9 o'clock. Lock everything down. There sat a family on the back. I said, real politely, I said, ma'am, I need to lock up. Is it somebody you're waiting on? She said, oh, I was waiting on service. I said, ma'am, we didn't have service tonight. I said, we had a short time here with our children, and we've had fellowship out back. And she began to cry. And she wasn't dressed the nicest. And she wasn't driving the nicest thing. Matter of fact, she told me she had parked up here on the hill because she had to let the clutch in to get her car started. Now, we can all say whatever we want to say. Well, she's got just what she deserves. But when you come to yourself, you know what she said? Preacher, my little girl, and there she was. My wife's a witness. She's sitting right on that car porch right there waiting on me. The woman, little girl, come out with me. She said she has no Christmas. Could I just get $60 to buy her Christmas? Then she said this. She said, preacher, we ain't got no water. And if you could find it in you, and I know what you all think about people begging for money and trying to get money out, but I'm just telling you where people's at. She said, we ain't got no water in the house. Could you maybe give me $100 and let me go get a bath? You know what she's going to do? She's going to go to the truck stop, maybe give them $20 to get her a hot bath. And we're going to sit around here and we're going to point our finger at somebody and we can't raise our hand to the good God of heaven that's blessed us so much. And you say, well, they deserved it. What do we deserve? What do we deserve? Do we deserve where we're at this morning? Come to himself. I said, you got any groceries in your house? No, preacher. You say, what'd you do, Pastor? We helped them. And we didn't vote on doing it. You ain't got to vote on doing right. Come to yourself. You come to yourself in a bad... You ever come to yourself in a bad place? And I can tell you this, it didn't take long. As close as I try to walk with God, it's my life. It's my livelihood. This is the way God has called me to do. But the best thing in me, I'm not far from being where he's at. Come to himself. How did I get... Don't you know there's a lot of people laying around here saying, how did I get here? There's a wasting. And young people, let me tell you something. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what the new culture's doing. I don't care what society's doing. This Bible's still right. Sin is still sin. Sin is addictive. And sin will put you in places that you wondered how in the world you ever got there. Now there's a warning of the far country. And I'm going to tell you something.
I look around this morning and I was thinking, God, I know this message is for me. I've lived this message. I know it's for me. But God, who are you sending here this morning to hear this? And my wife has been witnessing this family. And I said, well, I know they're going to be here this morning. But you know what? I can look and see. We got so many people out sick. I can tell you who's here and who. They ain't here this morning. But I'm going to tell you this. There was a time when they was in a Bible-believing church. And you know where they are now? They're separated. Their kids are in trouble and dispersed. And now they both find themselves wondering, how did we get here? You listen to me, families. It don't take long. It don't take long. Maybe somebody hurt his feelings at home. You ever got your feelings hurt? Why wouldn't the devil hurt your feelings and try to get you not to come back here? There's the warning of the far coming. There's the wasting of the far. But there's the waking in the far. He woke up. What am I doing here? But oh, look at this. I don't want to leave you there. Thank God this is in the Bible. There's the walking away from the far country. The Bible said he come to himself and he said, I know what I'm going to do. I know who'll take me back. I'm going to the Father. I wish we didn't have that other wing out there. I believe I'd just run through them double doors and bust them open, take a lap around the back basement, and come in the other side. Ain't you glad there's a way out? There's a walking out. Now, I want you to notice something. The Father didn't come get him. You got to want to get out of it. Some of you can spend every dime you got trying to keep the young'uns out of the hog pen. It ain't going to do nothing till they make up their mind and see theyself and realize they somebody that they can get back home to. And these Pharisees is hearing every word of it. What? Well, these highfalutin churches. Wonder what Jesus thinks about people when down and outers come in the door and people say, pss, 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 pss. I bet he may have a parable for you that had come down to where you live and teach you something. And you mom and daddies, you better quit pointing your finger at other young'uns as young'uns. And you better quit pointing your finger at other folks' wives and their husbands, because you better be careful. That right there is going to come right back down where you stay at. Wrong's wrong. I preach against sin. But let me tell you, young people, if you mess up and get in trouble, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to love you. You young boys, you get in trouble, you know what this preacher's going to do? I'm going to love you. But stay away from sin. It'll cost you something. Miss Sherry, won't you come if you would? This sermon's getting way deeper than the outline. There's the waking. He woke up about his past. He woke up about his place. He said, here I am. But he woke up with a plan. He said, Brother Adam, I will arise. And he woke up about a person. He said, I know who'll take me back. The Father. Then there's the walking from a far country. Verse 20, there was a decision. He arose and came to his Father. There was a direction. You know why he went to the Father? Because the most wonderful words in our Bible, you know what Jesus said? Come. You remember when Peter got out of the ship, he was doing pretty good.
wind got up. Matt, by the way, he was a different preacher when he sunk. He found out he wasn't bulletproof. He said, "Hey, y'all stay back there and watch me." He began to sink. He said, "Lord, save me." And I love what he done. There's a Bible word there. He reached and he caught him. He said, "Oh, thou little faith." What you talking about? I'm talking about the walking from the far country. But I close the welcoming from the far country. You know what he done? When he was a great way off. I don't know how far it was. But I know what the Bible says. He ran. And he grabbed him. And you know how it is when you sin against God and you're just walking around on eggshells and you're afraid something bad's fixing to happen. Well, he done planned his speech out about what he's going to tell God. He done planned it all out and God butted in on him. Now, this is what I said I was going to say and then I'm done. True repentance is not telling God that you deserve merits or applause. True repentance is saying, "God, I don't care. If you'll just take me back, I'll just do anything you want me to do." He run. And this is a Bible word like not many other words. The Bible said that he kissed him. That don't mean that he did this. It means that he kissed all over him. God, could you imagine when he felt the kisses from heaven? And he's just a kissing all over him. And he hollered back at the higher servant. I can't hardly wait till tonight. And he said, "Hey, go get the best robe down yonder. Go get the best calf in the barn. Go bring me that ring. I'm going to put it on his finger." And I guarantee you when he walked back to the house, he wasn't doing this. He had his head down and he said, "How could a God love me the way you've loved me? How could a God give me the best things he's got with what I've done to you? How? How could you love me so much?" Let me tell you how much he loved us. He put his son on a cross. And let him die in your place. That you could trust him and get to where he is. My sister plays, this altar's open this morning. I don't know what you need. Maybe you